was crazy. What is up, y'all? This is DWC episode 5, week 5.
This is week 5.
Week 5. I don't know what episode this is. I think
it's already week 5. That's kind of insane.
I know. Make sure you guys listen to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, all that jazz, and on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. Make sure you give us 5 stars rating. Listen to that. We're out on that on audio too. Twitter is at DWC2022. Instagram is Defense Wins Championships. TikTok will be going soon. I got the weekend off, so UFC. But during the day, we get that shit loaded up and ready to go. We got a lot of headlines, a lot of things to talk about. Picks, best bets. I have a random ass question for Reed later on because I was in an argument with one of my friends. So we'll get all that sorted out. First for the headlines, Davante Adams wants out over the Raiders. What do you think some destinations for him? I know he said Jets and Saints.
He said that? He said Jets and Saints? I don't know. Davante Adams is so weird to me. I feel like it's been brewing ever since him and Rodgers broke up the very first time that, like, even the first year he got to the Raiders, it was like, oh, the team's not good. Maybe he should just go back to wherever Aaron Rodgers is, right? Like, I don't quite understand why we keep doing this. Like, just go fucking take a pay cut and play with Rodgers. I'm over it at this point. I don't know. It's like the year of the diva receivers. Fucking Adams, Ayuk's being a little pussy, and then Amari Cooper is pouting on the sidelines. I really don't know what's going on with these receivers, but I am not surprised at all by Davante Adams being out here. I think the Chiefs is the best spot for him to go because he is going to get the ball a lot because Pat has nobody else right now because they're all injured, and Travis Kelce is a tub of lard until the playoffs. So I think the Chiefs make the most sense.
They did say that the Chiefs weren't looking at Davante Adams, but take that what you will. You know, always lying. Steelers did say they're interested in Tay.
Not surprised by that.
I think for short term, Davante over there at New York for the Jets would be elite, but I think long term it would, like, I don't think it'd be good for Garrett Wilson's development.
Yeah, I'm not super, like, I know Garrett Wilson is good, but, like, I feel like he has no chemistry with Rodgers. I also don't think the OC is great or ever has been great in this league. So I don't know if Garrett Wilson just said on, like, a interview or a post-game interview after last week that they need to mix things up on offense because they're doing, like, simple stuff constantly. You know what I mean? And that's just the MO for Hackett. And the only reason he's there and has a job is because Rodgers likes him and can kind of call plays himself, I think. So it's just who Rodgers is comfortable with. So, yeah, I don't disagree. Having Adams there, Wilson's the number two and probably won't be seeing the ball as much. Maybe he might get the ball more because he's not being bracketed anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, you got Devontae, Garrett Wilson, and Mike Williams.
I think this is different because, like, in the specific case of Aaron only really throws it to guys that he likes. Like, we were seeing, like, I think it was, what, week 2, week 3, the Alan Lazard show? Like.
Yeah. I forgot he's on that team, too. So, if he's basically putting together the Green Bay team before he left. Lazard and where's MVS at? He needs to go to the Jets as well.
It's just weird, like, before the season, we were having, like, Garrett Wilson top 10 talks.
I know.
And since then, it
went to shit. I told you last year I picked Garrett Wilson 2, or not 2 in fantasy, but as my first pick, I was, like, pick number 9 or something, 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. But, obviously, Rodgers' Achilles blew out, and I was like, well, Garrett Wilson is not going to be worth a top 2 pick in this league. And after that, like, just watching last year, I stayed away from him completely because I just don't. I just did not trust it. And it wasn't his fault Rodgers got hurt, but like you said, Rodgers does his own thing and does not throw to people he doesn't have any chemistry with. So it's been a rough start for Garrett Wilson so far.
Devontae said he just wanted to go to QBs that he's comfortable with. So I see why he said the Jets and the Saints. But he also said the Cowboys, and I'm like, they're not going to get you.
The Cowboys don't really dish out for free agents like that. The Steelers make sense because you guys have been obviously looking for a number one or two receiver, right? Like you tried to get Ayuk. He would have been your number one.
Dodge that bullet. That brother's been ass.
Yeah, he's been bad. I think he'll probably be okay.
Midseason. He just didn't play. He didn't practice. Nothing.
Yeah, he didn't practice or anything like that. So I think he'll be fine. But, I want to say the Browns are there, but like at the same time, it wouldn't shock me if the Browns inquire. Like most teams are probably like, all right, let's just see what they're asking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Barry's definitely the type of guy that would do that. Plus, Amari Cooper's been so bad. Back to the Raiders.
Going back to the Raiders.
You know what
y'all be like, fuck you. We're shipping you to the Raiders.
Yeah. I think the value just isn't there for Amari right now for us to be able to just swap players like that. They'd be asking for too much. I really think the Jets, Chiefs, Steelers, probably the most likely spots. Saints, I don't think, need another receiver.
Mm.
And they don't have the money to pay for it, I don't think. So
no. I'm just going to always assume that the Saints don't have money to pay for anybody.
But they've hit on a few rookies and young players that where they don't really – they're not hurting because of, like, Rashid and Olave. So, like, both guys are on – well, Rashid is on a one-year deal and Olave's still on the rookie contract. So they're fine where they're at.
Yeah. It's just like – I don't know why we give so much attention to this list of teams that players drop. Brother, you go on wherever Antonio Pierce wants to send you. It don't matter. I don't care about no list. I don't care who's reaching, who's not, where you want to go. You want to play Rodgers? It don't matter. He can ship you to fucking Patriots if he wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing with like the Ayuk leverage thing. Everyone was like, oh, Ayuk has the leverage. No, he fucking doesn't. Like, if Shanahan and Lynch want to send him to the Browns, he's going to the Browns. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's just how it is. Like, he has no say in the situation. And ultimately, he ended up signing the contract they offered 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So, that's just how it is for players. Like, Devontae has done nothing on the Raiders. And
he's only hurt himself.
Yeah.
Because we knew what the business decisions, and you I don't know if you're hurt or you just chilling, you know.
He was chilling, bro. Writing was on the wall.
You're not doing yourself any favors. And speaking of the Chiefs, do you think the Chiefs should make a move for a wide receiver? And they did dodge a bullet. Rashee Rice is good for it. They probably will put him on IR or whatever, but it's not ACL.
I don't know what the cap situation looks like or how their owner spends cash in general for their roster, but they seem to not sign the big contracts for receivers lately, or they would have kept Tyreek, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did offer him a big amount of money, and he turned it down for a little bit more for the Dolphins, which I thought was stupid. Like, Tyreek should have just stayed on the better team. This is the same exact situation we were in last year with the Chiefs when everyone was like, they don't have a number one. It's midseason. They're struggling on passing the football, right? And they had no receiver to throw to. Rashee Rice luckily turned out okay for them as a rookie. But, like, we are down to nothing. They don't have Pacheco. They don't have Rashee Rice for who knows how long. Travis Kelce isn't the same during the regular season, or at least it takes him time to ramp up because he's older. I mean, yes, I think the Chiefs should get a fucking receiver, and I think they should make the move for Devontae. Like, you get Devontae and half your problems are fixed, and then when Rashee Rice comes back, now you have Rashee Rice, Devontae, and Travis Kelce. That's pretty fucking good. And last year, they refused to get a receiver. I thought they were wrong in doing that as well, but clearly it worked out for them. I think this year's a little bit different, though. Like, I don't – their depth is not good at receiver, so
– no.
I don't know. Like, this week, I don't know who the fuck they're throwing to.
I was watching, tuning into the game after Rashee because I didn't know how they were going to win, and then I saw Sky Moore minutes. I was like, oh, no.
He's horrible.
Anytime I see number 21 out there, I'm like,
yeah, no.
They should have lost that game. I also think they should. I know they dodged a bullet, the Rashee Rice shit, but, like, yeah, you're lucky. Like, and Pacheco's out. Like, what is that run game going to look like? I mean, people were hyping up Carson Steele, but he looks trash, too. And he has fumbling problems. Like, this is tough. But like you said, this is how they were last year, and they won the fucking Super Bowl. So, I don't know, man.
It's annoying, but this the biggest thing is, like, Pat was okay last year for the first half of the year. This is arguably Pat's worst September in his career. And he's still 4-0, which is the dumbest fucking thing ever. But yeah, he started struggling later in the year last year. So, like, I just don't know. It feels different to me. Like, it feels like this offense needs something to juice it for them to get back into it. I could be fucking wrong. Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, they just win, so.
Yeah. At least for their sake, everybody's ass. It's not just them.
Yeah.
Everybody's been ass.
Yeah. That's the underlying theme in the NFL right now. If you're 2-2, you're 1-3, like, season's not over because everyone kind of sucks.
Yeah. Going into the hottest seats. Why don't you take this? You're the one that made this one. Why don't you take this over?
Okay, so we're gonna talk about three coaches that I think. I didn't share this with Bo to start the podcast. So I think these are the three coaches that have the hottest seat in the NFL. Nick Sirianni, Doug Peterson, and Robert Saleh. Who do you think is the hottest out of those three? And this is insane to say this because Doug Peterson's 0-4 right now, the only 0-4 coach.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think it's Doug, but it's weird because, like, the other two could all, like, all three of these coaches could get fired. That's like. It's like the Doug Peterson situation is just sad. And then, like, it for the other two, it's just like you lose. It just keeps going. Like, you lose to this team. We really lose into the Broncos. We lose into this team. We lose into this team. We lose into this team. And it just keeps going. And the Jaguars have just been in the pit of misery for forever. But, like, the Jets and the Eagles their fan base is, like, cutthroat. So you keep losing. Like, the Jets losing to the Broncos, like, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah, that was a really bad loss at home.
I do think it's Doug Peterson, though. I think Doug Peterson will get actually fired. Because they said, take it with a grain of salt, but they said that the Jaguars owner, who's usually just, like, a cheerful guy, was, like, fuming. And this brother's getting fired. This brother's getting fired.
Yeah, I think, I predicted Doug Peterson to get fired after this week. What was that, 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because I agree with you. I do think Doug Peterson should be the first coach fired. But the pressure that the Eagles owner puts on the coaches, I think Sirianni actually might be on the hotter seat here for some reason. It's just this weird feeling that, like, if Sirianni drops this game this week, I forget who they're playing. I think they're playing someone, or they might have a bye.
I think they have a bye.
Yeah, they have a bye. You can't get fired during a bye week. That would be impressive. That would be impressive. But yeah, I just think the pressure, it almost looks like Sirianni is like, it's so weird. He just looks like there's so much pressure that he's facing right now that he's kind of doing his own thing on the game, like game days. Like, he's not listening to anybody else on his staff. He's not listening to his GM. Like, game day coaching, I don't know right now, situationally, if there's a worse coach in the league than Sirianni.
Yeah, he keeps overcompensating. It's like, you didn't go for it, and then he goes all the way over on the spectrum, and then he comes all the way back.
Like, Bo knows I'm a huge analytics. Listen to the analytics. Like, it will help you. Mm-hmm. He's looking at the analytics, and he is just going overboard with it. Like, I think he's doing everything you shouldn't do looking at those numbers. Like, his go-for situations are so weird right now. Like, that Saints game was just, like, what not to do.
Yeah.
It's like a coaching clinic, what not to do in that situation.
Nah, I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah, I don't know what is happening because, like, to me, someone on that staff has to be saying something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yo, we probably shouldn't go for this. You thinking? And he's like, nah, I'm just going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so weird because him and Doug Peterson has done the same thing. Like, that first game they lost to the Dolphins, that 4th-and-3 on their own 30 when they were up. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we actually doing right now?
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I think Peterson's the first coach fired, but I think Sirianni is the hottest seat, which is weird when I just said Peterson will probably be fired first.
Yeah. I think it's on these people are in three different boxes. Because, like, Doug Peterson, like, when I watch the Jaguars, it's just like regression on so many players that I thought would be good. It's like Trevor Lawrence regression, Travis Etienne regression. I mean, Tank Bigsby's looking more explosive out of the block. Like, and I'm just like, where is the development for these players that a year or two ago, we were like, yo, Travis Etienne was going in like, you know, first, second round. Like, we thought he's going to have a big fucking year. And it's just been ass. And then and Nick Sirianni, hot take. Nick Sirianni, in my mind, thinks that he has a bunch of dogs on his team. And he really got puppies, bro. He really got puppies. I mean, we haven't CJ. I know CJ's your boy. We haven't CJ doing all this yapping. And he getting hooked.
Yeah, he is.
Hooked in the games. I saw that meme on Mike Evans scoring that ball, and he was like this, and he's like, CJ's like, oh, here comes the tickle monster. Like, that's what what are we doing? Yeah. And it was like,
start to the year.
Going forward on the fourth downs, Jalen Hurts hasn't been playing that well, and I'm a Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts, but he hasn't been playing that well. You're writing all these checks, and your players just can't cash them. If they were converting these, we'd just be like, oh, bro, he's just that daredevil coach, man. He's really got it. And they're cashing all these checks. They fucking up.
Hey, he ain't no Dan Campbell.
It starts facts. It starts at the top. Like, I feel like he's just all vibes. It'd be like us on UFC. We're just like, fuck it, bro. He gonna get knocked out. Fuck it. We're gonna put all our money on this dude.
Yeah.
And then he gets chinned in 2 seconds.
No, he's playing Madden right now. And I don't. And with the way the offense is played for the Eagles, you can't do that. Yeah. And the defense is bad too.
Yeah.
Like, Sirianni was never the same when Steichen and Gannon left the year after they went to the Super Bowl. And it was just downhill after that.
Yeah. It feels like they were just like the voice of reason. Like, he's just that drunk friend that'd be like, yo, let's do this. And we were like, bro, it's 3 a.m. Go to bed.
Yeah. I'm going to give Sirianni a few more weeks. I need AJ Brown to be back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're missing a few more pieces in different areas, but like, I don't know. Like, they have a lot of questions to be answered because, one, Sirianni, I don't think is the guy moving forward, no matter how they end this year. But also, soon on this podcast, if they don't get better on offense, even with A.J. Brown, we're going to have a long discussion about Jalen Hurts. And he's not the only QB that has been bad after signing an extension.
Yeah.
Like, extensions have been signed. People have taken their time on vacation in the offseason and decided not to give a fuck anymore. That's what it seems like.
Mm.
We might just have to have a whole conversation next podcast or like a few weeks from now about what QBs signed extensions and what have been doing anything with it. Because
I mean, usually, I mean, I think it's any like when his contract year, oh, we hungry, you know, 4,000 yards, 1,500 receiving yards. Oh, we getting 11, 12 sacks. As soon as we sign that extension, yeah, we chill. I got that guaranteed money. My family good. You know, I just went to Bora Bora with, you know, the wife and the kids. I just went to the club. You know, oh, we saw Bo and Reed, you know, at the strip club, man, throwing them dollar bills, man. We just chilling.
Yeah, I
don't know. And then really when we call you out, you get pissed.
I know. Yeah.
Bro, it's not me, bro.
Well, you know who has been through this his whole career is Dak.
Yeah.
And he's been like, you know what you're getting with Dak, and he doesn't hide or shy away from any of the hate. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. But I think people need to start realizing that, like, Dak is what a franchise QB is. You know,
I was just about to say, hey, for y'all people, we got a lot more Dacks in this league than we got Mahomes.
Yeah. I'm telling you. I think that's a big thing for like the NFL fan base is that like we're so involved in like ranking these QBs and being like, oh, this guy's better than that guy. But like realistically, we have two elite level QBs in this league. And everyone else falls behind, right? Like, that's really what it is. Like, there's two athletic, big-armed, uber-talented QBs in this league. That's Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. That's it. Like, any NFL team would drop their QB for those two guys, most likely. And then you have guys like Burrow and Herbert at the next tier, and then everyone else is basically where we're at. And it's like... Dak Prescott is a good franchise QB. That's just where it is. You know what I mean? And he's been through the ups and downs of the he's got signed twice now on extensions. He's made the league's most money. But like, I don't know, man. Jalen Hurts does not look good to me. So I don't know.
I'm with you.
It's so weird because like the pressure of a QB, what fans expect from a QB. All of it is just so convoluted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one actually knows what it is or how hard it is to be a QB in this league. Or are QB wins counted? Are they not? Should you get around 250 passing yards a game to be considered a good QB? You know what I mean? There's no consensus on like what it is, what it means to be a good QB in this league.
Yeah, and it's got to be even more tough on him with his coach. It's like, yo, we're going for this. I'm like, really, bro? On a 4th and 5? What the fuck do you want me to do?
Yeah. And just Sirianni without their best offensive weapon. You could say Saquon is now, but A.J. Brown. Like, why are we going for it when we can just kick a field goal? Like, I just – like, the Eagles' defense against the Saints was playing well. So why put them at a disadvantage when you know they're not that good of a unit? And just take the points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm all for analytics and going for it. But, like, you have to read the fucking room. And he cannot read the room at all.
But any words on your boy Robert Saleh? You're a Saleh hater.
I'm not a fan of Saleh. But I also understand how the hierarchy works in the NFL. I mean, for me personally, I believe that Saleh wanted Rodgers, right? But I don't know if he fully understood what that meant.
Yeah, what that meant.
Because, obviously, like, if you came to any GM and they were like, oh, you can have Aaron Rodgers, you're like, oh, shit, for what? Like, I would definitely take him. Like, it gives us a good chance to win. We can set up the other pieces on our team. But what comes with him at this point in his career is his friends. And what's the biggest thing, and this goes for college too with coaches, the number one reason people get fired in college as a head coach is because you hire your fucking friends. And you're not willing to fire them. And you don't win that way. Like, even in the NFL, you're not winning games with Nathaniel Hackett as your OC. There's no creativity. He's all he is a good friend of Rodgers, and Rodgers can just bully him around. And now, not only that, it also stems down to who you have to sign, how much money you dish out to people Rodgers knows. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Saleh gets his team ready to win games. The defense, undeniable. They're a little bit off this year, though, I will say. But defensively, like, I think he's a DC. I think it's just what it is. The defense is always ready to play. But, like, the team, I don't think he manages the clock well. I don't think he's the right guy to lead the Jets to success in this league either.
Yeah.
It's hard, though. Like, when you're going to the Jets, the Panthers, the Browns, to sustain success for long periods of time is, like, it almost feels impossible.
Yeah, especially in the growing demand of excellency in this world for sports. It's just, like, uncommon for you to just be mid for a couple years, and people are just like, yo, we're done with you, bro. But yeah. I think Saleh fits in the category of just and this is no disrespect to Robert Saleh. I think Robert Saleh is a great defensive mind. But this is a category of the he's not meant for this. He's not cut from the cloth of being an NFL head coach. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can be a DC and still make millions of money. You'll make more money than I ever will, brother. But
yeah,
I think especially with how you said with getting Rodgers and not fully understanding what getting Rodgers means. You're getting Rodgers and you're getting all the baggage that comes with it. You're not getting a Matt Ryan, a Matt Stafford that are just, you know, dogs and will go with the punches and will work with you. You're getting Aaron Rodgers. You're getting a diva. You're going to have to sign a couple of his homies for, you know, a couple mil. And that adds up for a lot of people that don't think those little mil, those 3 mil, 5 mil deals, those add up in totality. And that's why you can't, you know, you might not be able to keep this guy because you still have this other guy on payroll because he's homies with Aaron. In the whole Hassan Riddick situation, that's a mess. He needs to get fired too, bro. I know, like, he had a couple, you know, good with Brees and Garrett and Sauce, but he needs to get fired too.
The whole, like, that's just it. The whole franchise is a mess. Unfortunately for Saleh, he's going to get washed away as another failing.
Yeah, he will be the scapegoat. Coach.
And yeah, scapegoat 100%. The owner should reevaluate everything and probably fire the GM as well. But the owner doesn't make good decisions either, because I'm sure he was the one that came to the GM and was like, let's go get Rodgers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So same thing with, like, the Browns. Like, who do you think realistically went out and got Deshaun? It was probably the owner, right?
Yeah.
But who's going to take the blame for when he doesn't play well? It's not going to be the owner, because guess what? They're not selling the team. They're not going to own up to it. It's going to be the GM or the coach. It happens every single time. And sorry, Saleh, but, like, the cards aren't against you with this team. It has talent. Like, that's my biggest thing. That's my biggest thing with Saleh. Like, defense is top 10. It's been that way for 3 years. You just needed a QB. Now you have a QB. And if you can't make the playoffs or win with Aaron Rodgers and this defense, then you need to look yourself in the mirror and go back to being a DC.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think he's the least hot out of these three coaches.
Yeah. Just even if, like, if you're a head coach and you have your specialty is defense, if your defense is rocking, your offense is ass, you still will probably get fired. And it might have nothing to do with you. But at the same time, you let Nathaniel Hackett get a contract and walk in the building to appease Aaron. And I'd be like, hey, you're just a pushover at that point. I'd be like, motherfucking no. Mm-mm. You saw what happened at the Broncos, bro. Why would I bring him over? You're under contract with me. Me. And you need money. You spend your money on drugs. I know you need money. It's on me, brother. You get to play for me. I don't play for you. But the I think Doug Peterson will get fired. I do agree with you. Nick Sirianni might be on the hottest seat just because of the atmosphere and the fans and all that. But I think all three of these coaches have a high possibility of getting fired next year. We're going to go ahead and get into the NFL refs. This has been a hot topic for a lot of podcasts, a lot of talking points. The fuck's up with all these flags, man?
I don't know what is happening because it's not even – like, I can't even confidently say that, like, the league favorite teams are getting less flags. You know what I mean? Like, every fucking team in the league, whether it's the Chiefs, it's the fucking Ravens, it's the Steelers, like, they're also being flagged. So, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there's a flag probably every four plays in each fucking game. And then sometimes, like, I swear I've seen stretches in certain games this year where there's been five back-to-back-to-back-to-back flags.
Yeah.
And I don't know what is going on, but they need to fucking cut that shit out.
Yeah. And it's funny that, like, us as fans, we're like, holding happens damn near every play. And we look back and we're like, bro, how is that not a hold? And then now we're like, bro, just let it happen. I'm saying if it has nothing to do with the play, let that shit happen.
Yeah, I'd rather like on the opposite side of the field.
I'd rather you take the flag back than to just be like, nah, we're, you know, whatever. Whatever, bro.
I hate, like, my biggest thing is, like, I understand flags need to be a thing, but we really need to have a conversation about reviewing majority of the flags that are thrown. And I think I know they don't want to slow the game down. It's already 4 hours of broadcasts, like, for every fucking game. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, why can't we have some type of review on holdings? Holdings are, like, the big one to me. Like, holdings, like, roughing the passer, like, those types of things I think need to be checked because they're 10 to 15-yard penalties, right? Yeah. Like, if it's just a 5-yard penalty, whatever. Who gives a fuck? But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's more amplified this year because after week one and two, we were, like, now starting to look for flags. You know what I mean? But I would like to see, like, if the flag percentage is up or not from, like, last year. It feels like it 100% is.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's like the Browns got screwed on a fucking holding call this week. That would have won them the game. So it's just – I don't know, man. I don't even know what to say about the refs.
I think with the 10 and 15 yarders need to be evaluated. I mean, the Steelers got shafted on a pass interference with Minka that even New York and upstairs said, nah, like that wasn't a good call. Like we should be able to review those. And shit, if we review them and they're still like, yeah, that's a flag, then you know, it is what it is, but at least give us the chance to review it.
Yeah, like you should be able to challenge flags, like certain flags or certain moments. Like what if, say, in the fourth quarter, you're allowed to challenge a flag? You know what I mean? Because it doesn't make any sense to challenge a flag in the first, second quarter, right? Like that just slows the game down. Fourth quarter, I feel like most games in the NFL, I would say 70% of the games end up a one-score game, right? Or like two-score, late two-score game. So I feel like flags that have a chance of ruining a team's chances of winning should always be able to be challenged by the coach. The only hard part about that is like, how does the coach know when to challenge a flag? You know what I mean? Because ultimately when a flag is thrown, usually the next play is pretty much up in 40 seconds. So you would have to make that decision super fast.
Yeah.
It just seems like there should be something to prevent flags from winning games for teams. Like, even the Chiefs-Bengals game, obviously I wanted the Chiefs to win. But, like, I feel like that fourth down call, or even, I guess, the opposite way, that hands to the face. It was hands to the face, I thought. But, like, either team right there, back-to-back flags, one of them should have been able to be like, no, that's not what that was. You know what I mean? Because one took away a long fourth down completion for the Chiefs, and the other took away the game for the Bengals. So, yeah. I feel like in the fourth quarter, I feel like there should be something where flags are reviewable.
Do you think that should be like a timeout? Like, if you call a timeout, should they review it? Or do you think it should be its own separate thing, like an own challenge thing?
I think you should have to use a timeout just like any other review. Like, if you're trying to challenge a play, because there has to be some sort of negative if you just stop the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... It just seems fucking weird. Like, do you either, you could just keep it the normal challenge play. You get 1.5, right? As long as you don't miss one. And then, maybe add like a flag challenge timeout. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
The NFL has a bunch of fucking people with unlimited funds to be able to figure this out. Why are two idiots on a podcast trying to figure this out? And the same thing with like the chain gang. Like, why don't we just have a fucking, like, we have the technology now to figure out we don't need a chain gang, right? Like, yeah. There has to be something.
The chains are cool, though, man. Especially when it gets
I do.
Oh, measure it out. That shit's funny.
Yeah. And, like, not even just flags, but I feel like the refs have just been bad in general. I've seen a lot of offsides called false starts. False starts called offsides. The touchdown for DK Metcalf that got called back on Monday. Like, what are we doing? Like, clear evidence of score. No one stopped it in the booth. What are these guys getting paid for that sit in the booth? The refs that sit in, like, the what do they call it? The fucking ref HQ for all the Sunday games. And they're not doing anything. It's so inconsistent. Like, I don't know. I don't have the answer on how to make reffing more consistent, because it is hard. Like, I'm not, it's guys are moving 20 miles per hour on the field. Like, it's hard to see everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you have what? 5, 6 refs on the field at a time. I don't have all the answers.
Shout out the refs.
Shout out the refs. Brown should be 2-2. No, we didn't deserve to win that game.
I'll tell you right now. In any of the games.
No, you're right.
You're lucky God came and saved you and threw that little rain pocket down for that Jaguars game. Y'all should be over. Going for that fifth loss.
So nasty. All right, let's get into injuries. Updated injuries. We got to talk about CMC again. So it's not just one leg. It's both legs. He has tendonitis in his Achilles. Is he ever coming back?
I see it now, brother. I see it now. Welcome to Christian McCaffrey, Allstate Insurance.
Right here. That's insane.
McCaffrey. Hyundai McCaffrey, I see it now. It's over, brother. It's over.
This is one of the weirder.
We went to Germany and it came out both?
Yeah. This is one of the weirder situations I've ever seen, like how a team handled an injury. You know what I mean? They've been so quiet about it all offseason. Everyone knew about an injury for Christian McCaffrey, but no one knew the severity of it. And it's progressed each week. It's like each week it's getting worse and worse. Next week, Scheffner's going to come out and say one of his legs is missing. Like, I just don't know. It's so strange. Like, and without him, I don't think their team is really, like, crazy dynamic anymore. With Ayuk playing bad, being rusty, and him being hurt, and Debo being hurt also, like, this team looks rough to start the year.
Yeah, I don't know. And he got paid too, man. It's like shout out to all my nerds in the building. It's like Dobby, bro, from fucking My Hero. You got all this power, your body just can't, is not equipped to handle it. And it's like, it's not even like, oh, you bang up, you know, bruised ribs, you know, collapsed lung, you just get beat the fuck up, bro. It's tendons, it's your fucking joints. Like, it's dead ass like the Todd Gurley shit. Like, Todd Gurley got cooked from fucking arthritis, bro. And we got tendonitis in both. Who the fuck? I have never heard of Achilles tendonitis in my life. And you got both. That means they better fall off the bone. If you take one jump cut, they're falling off the bone, both. And it's like, you took this long ass trip to Germany, and they probably told you the same thing these American doctors said, bro. You're cooked. That's what I come with the reports. Brother, you're cooked. It's over. Both of them.
Both of them. He was probably like, what?
Both. Brother, both.
I know tendonitis just like flares. So.
Yeah.
But when you're playing professional football as a running back, like, you got to think that this could be detrimental enough for him to not be able to play majority of the season for the rest of his life, right? Because tendonitis, it flares when you're doing physical activity, and extreme physical activity is what the NFL is. So,
yeah,
I mean, this isn't great. This isn't great at all. And I don't want to be like, oh, he's probably done, because I don't fucking know. I just know how tendonitis is because I have it in my knees. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't do shit that's physical anymore. And it still sometimes flares, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm hoping this doesn't affect his future in the NFL, but I don't know what else to think besides, like, one, we already know Achilles injuries are bad for running backs.
Yeah.
And two, this is something that he's going to have the rest of his life. So,
and three, he's got him in both
legs. Yeah, and he has it double. So it's really unfortunate news for CMC.
Yeah, and the 49ers. I mean, like everybody, you know, you take that week or two off from lifting, you know, slam a couple Big Macs down your throat. You go and hit the arms thinking you can do what you can do, and you get little minor tendonitis. And then you're out here saluting everybody because you can't fucking extend your arm. That brother's got it in both legs. It is Achilles, bro. We already increased from when we used to watch it back in the day. It's already been increased in games. There's no way you can last 17 games with Achilles tendonitis, especially with what CMC does. I mean, CMC is probably cutting every single play that he's in.
17, and if the 49ers go deep in the playoffs again, that's what, 20, 21 games if they make the Super Bowl?
Gets colder.
Yeah. It's not great.
It's OB. They need to go get Ashton. No cap. They get Ashton? Oh, my God.
Ashton Johnson.
But, you know, how are they going to have to – because, like, with ten, like, you can't. Is there any? You have tendonitis. Is there anything you can do?
I mean, you just play it by ear, really. I mean, you're gonna do the physical therapy and stuff, and try to get it where it doesn't. Like, tendonitis, you can play on tendonitis. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just feels stiffer, and you might have a. I think you might have a bigger chance of actually tearing it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not good in the NFL. Like, no. Achilles are probably the most important thing besides knees for running backs.
Yeah.
So
that brother's going to have to pop some perks.
Yeah. Not looking great for him.
And then we got, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, I could see him sitting out the rest of the year.
Until they figure out
what to do with it.
Yeah. And even then, it's not, last point on that, even then, it's not even like a, It's not like he like broke something and separated his shoulder where you gonna and it heals. This is forever. He's gonna always have this. That shit sucks, bro. Especially in your Achilles, Lord. McCaffrey Honda dealership.
It's crazy. Best running back in the league, and we're saying Honda dealership for him.
McCaffrey.
He's got enough money. He'll hit that NFL injury bonus, and he'll be on his way if he's done. McCaffrey, I think the 49ers.
Part owner of Burger King.
Jesus.
Yeah, they're going to do red line. It's McCaffrey. So He's going to be a great coach, man. Rashee Rice survived the ACL allegations. And they said he's going to be out for maybe like 4 or 6 weeks. I don't know, bro. But
yeah, didn't they say
not the whole MCL season?
Sprain?
Mm-hmm.
MCL sprain and bone bruise. I was like, how the fuck did his ACL not tear?
It's dude, that him and fucking insane. The Jordan Love shit. When we were watching, we were like, oh my God.
Dude, there was three people this year alone. Ferguson, Love, and now Rashee Rice that escaped the ACL somehow. And I watched each of those plays, and I was like, dude, that ACL is gone.
Yeah.
Insane. But good. Like, thank God.
Yeah.
Fuck.
We got the AR hip injury and the Will Levis shoulder injury.
Both are unknowns.
Yeah, did you see both of those? The Will Levis shit, bro. Hey, I hope he gets better, but man, Will Levis is the funniest QB in the league right now, man.
Dude, talk about bad refing. How was that not a first down?
No, it should have been a first down. It was clear first down. I was like, what the fuck?
That's just another example, but yeah, not to be off topic. But yeah, Will Levis has struggled, but Callahan said he's a starter going forward no matter what, so.
Yeah, he literally on the camera, like, yo, my shoulders hurt. Like, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, this dude's funny as hell. Yeah. At least they got to play the Dolphins, so it's, you know, easy dub.
Yeah.
On the AR hip injury, I think that was a bad decision by the coach to put him back in and then have him do a QB run.
Yeah, it did an RPO and he ran.
What the fuck are we
I doing? Was just like, that injury was so weird because when he got hit originally on the play, he got hurt. It didn't look like he got hit that hard.
No.
But he got back up. He was kind of like, I don't know what's happening. You could tell. I thought he was
concussed, like dead ass. The way he was moving, I was like, what happened?
But then he goes in, they run an RPO, and he takes off. And he kind of just slid down, and you could tell that, like, he just was not feeling it. So,
yeah.
Hip injuries are weird. Like, I wonder what it could be. Because, like I said, it didn't look like he got hit that hard on either of those hits. So,
no.
Clearly some uncomfortable pain he was showing, though, after.
Yeah, Minka was confused as fuck. He literally, like, caught him. As he's sliding, Gizzy's like, AR sliding? What the fuck? And then he slid weird. It wasn't like a slide. He just like plopped down on the ground. He's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, he went the opposite side of where his hip was hurting.
And then Michael Parsons, high ankle sprain, out for a few weeks.
Same with DeMarcus Lawrence. Out for IR. Weeks.
My boys. Man. But it'll be like Shmee, yes! Not like Michael Parsons doing shit anyway. He's been kind of ass. And I picked him for DPOY. And he's just been fucking chilling.
It's okay. I picked Crosby and he's hurt, so.
Oh. No DPOY? It's
good. Both have ankle sprains. Come on, bro. The only person not... Wait, is TJ Watt hurt? He's not hurt, right?
No.
Dude. Miles hurt, Max hurt, Micah hurt, TJ's the only one left, and Hendrickson. Those are the only two that are going to have the sack leaders.
Yeah. I can't, you know.
Hey, Miles is hurt, but he had two sacks last week. Still.
Facts. That brother's feet are getting pointed backwards, and he's still up there getting sacks.
That man just needs, like, if we lose this next two games, shut him down. Don't even bring back Chubb. I'm over it.
Facts. I'm like, bro, he's out there.
Go get surgery.
Yeah, I need surgery, but I'm going to play. I'm like, brother, this is Cleveland. You don't need to be doing this, man.
Hey, that's my goat. That's my goat right there.
You don't need to be doing this, man. You got paid.
The only man. The only man I can rely on week in and week out is Myles fucking Garrett. Fuck everyone else on that team. Besides Nick Chubb. Love you, Nick Chubb. But he's also back off. He's activated off the PUP list. He might be back as soon as this week. It would be kind of insane if he does come back this week, but
he shouldn't.
No, fuck no. Our O-line is terrible. Our O-line might be bottom five. I know we don't have our two starting tackles, and now our starting center's hurt, but like...
What happened? Has Jack played, or is it just...
Who?
Did he get hurt again? Jack Conklin?
Conklin has not played yet.
That's what it is.
Wills literally played. Wills played a half and got hurt again. That motherfucker. So now we're missing Wills, Conklin, and Pochich. DeJuan Jones has been terrible. He looked like he didn't take the offseason legit. Let's
talk about James Hudson.
And James Hudson should not be on an NFL roster. But guess what? He's our starting left tackle. Let's go.
I will say anytime a lineman, an offensive lineman does this, you're cooked. You're cooked. If you see the helmet of an offensive lineman, it's cooked.
Like, I'm giving Zach Zinter a break because he's a rookie, fifth round guard that has to play right now. Like, whatever. He fucks up. It is what it is. I think he'll be fine. Fucking Hudson. This is what, his fourth year? And he's played a lot of snaps. It's not like he hasn't been sitting out, has never played in an NFL game. No, this brother sucks. He is terrible.
Shout out
somehow. Yeah, I don't know, man. But Nick Chubb is activated, and if he comes back, he will probably get smoked behind the line of scrimmage.
Do you think it's you also losing your offensive line coach that's cooking y'all?
No, I really don't think – like, I know a lot of people take stock in that, and yes, Callahan is a Hall of Fame offensive line coach, probably first or second best offensive line coach in the league behind the Eagles. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But fucking, I don't know. We had these problems last year too. I think it's just the group of guys we have, and that's on the fucking GM. That's on the GM.
Some Barry slander?
I hate to say it. I love Barry, but like.
Oh, some Barry slander?
You really think about what it is. Coaching can only do so much, right? So we've had these guys. Like I said, Hudson's been on the team for 4 or 5 years. Wyatt Teller, Betonio, 4 years. Betonio's been on the team for 10 years. Who else? DeJuan Jones was good last year.
I thought he was going to take a mini leap.
That's just it, though. Like, it's crazy to me to say this, but like, what I'm seeing is that the team itself, one, they didn't play in preseason, but two, I feel like the whole team just took the offseason and didn't do anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that's on the coaches because these are grown men getting paid millions of dollars. Like, you think they would take it a little more serious. Like, besides Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Nick Chubb, who might come back, he shouldn't be back for another 2-3 weeks. Besides those three, who the fuck else took the offseason seriously and was training? And Deshaun. Clearly Deshaun cares about winning. He's the only one that looked like he cared last weekend. So, like, what the fuck was the rest of the team doing to prepare for this season when no one was watching them? You know what I mean?
You say that DeJuan looks bigger? Bigger than he already does?
He looks heavier. So I think what happened was, and I'm not saying DeJuan was just dicking around completely, because he did have a knee injury at the end of last year, and we had to shut him down, right? And I think he had to do physical therapy and stuff, but, like, I don't know if he was ever fully recovered from that, but he also, I don't think, took it completely serious, because when you're doing physical therapy, like, you're also doing, you're managing your weight and doing stuff like that too, because when you have a knee injury, when you're that heavy, you shouldn't get any heavier or it's going to weigh on you, right? He just looks slower and bigger this year. And I know his knee is probably still bothering him, but that's his own fault for not taking it serious in the offseason and losing weight and staying in shape. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. So it's not necessarily bigger. He's just in the term of heavier and moving, have sluggish, moving slow, heavier.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with his knee injury. And, but at the same time, like I said, you don't see, like, if Nick Chubb comes back this week or next week and he gets fucking 80 yards and looks the same, that's a work ethic problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's where we're at. That's how all NFL teams are. Like, you can tell who was working in the offseason and who wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm at with DeJuan Jones right now. I think he just took the offseason. He was just unserious about it. Because he has all the tools to be good. Last year, he was great when he played in pass protection. This year, he looks like he is a fucking traffic cone. So, that's where I'm at with the O-line.
Shout out to DeJuan Jones. Shout out James Hudson, man.
Yeah, we're missing our best. We're missing our best lineman in Wyatt Teller. Like, Betonio, at this point in his career, isn't our best lineman. He's probably our most consistent, but Wyatt Teller's clearly our best and youngest lineman, and he's not coming back for another 3 weeks, so it's hell over here.
I love it, bro. I love it.
Like, and this is scary to say, like, the only reason we will win games is if Deshaun Watson wins us games. That's where we're at. Because I don't even have faith in our defense right now.
Whoa.
27 missed tackles the last 2 weeks. Does that sound like the defense we had last year?
27 is crazy.
That sounds like half the team took the offseason off. You know what I mean? It sounds like they weren't really prepared to start the season. Besides a few guys.
Talk to your coach, man.
Listen, I love Stefanski more than I've loved any coach the Browns have ever had.
Because let's be honest.
In my lifetime, Stefanski's obviously the best, clearly the best, but he's had some down years, up years. People don't like his play calling. I think he's one of the better offensive minds in the league as well. He just has never had a QB, like, ever. He's never had the guy. Baker, if he had Baker's version now, like, we wouldn't be having a QB discussion, right? But Baker needed to be out of Cleveland. He needed to grow the fuck up. And then he was fine after that, right? Like, he's humble now. He fucking plays more loose. He's having fun. If we had that Baker on the Browns, like, sometimes it's all about where it matters and where the expectations are. The Tampa Bay has no expectations to go to a Super Bowl. They also haven't been a bottom feeder team for 40 years. You know what I mean? So, like, Stefanski's had it rough with QBs. Baker, he had fucking 5 different QBs last year. I don't think Stefanski has ever once had his guy at QB, if that makes sense. We've never drafted a QB when he's been there.
So you're saying Deshaun's not his guy?
I don't think Deshaun is his guy either, because think about the style of offense Stefanski likes to run. Play action. We like to run the ball. Like, Kirk Cousins would be an ideal QB for Stefanski, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Baker Mayfield would be as well. And I think he tried. I think he tried his hardest to get Baker on the same page as the rest of the offense, and it just did not work.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't think Deshaun – I don't think Stefanski's an air raid guy. I don't think he's a RPO guy. I think he's pretty straightforward with how he runs his scheme, so – it's just a weird situation. But like I was going into, if we don't get better, I know we signed an extension for him and Barry, but someone's taking the blame for Deshaun, right? And it ain't going to be the owner, like I talked about earlier. So who the fuck's it going to be?
I just can't wait for this Jalen Milroe draft pick in the first round.
I don't hate it, but my hunch is that Barry gets fired before Stefanski.
Oh, shit.
Crazy enough to say that.
Oh, my God. Are you going to shed a tear?
I like Barry and what he's done. He's revolutionized how teams will utilize the cap and cash spending and stuff like that. He's almost had to. See, that part of that makes me wonder if Barry was the reason we got Deshaun. You know what I mean? Because I don't think Haslam would spend that money if he didn't think we could manipulate the cap to still have a really good roster around Deshaun. So Barry made it possible. If we didn't have Barry, we wouldn't have been able to make Deshaun work in the first place. So like there's that like gray area. I just don't know who made the final decision. Or if Haslam was like, listen, Barry, you've done great with the cap. You've made the roster really good. Can you make this work? You know what I mean? That's more of the side I'm leaning on. But like I said, he's never had a first round pick ever in his whole time being the Browns GM. He's only had 2 second round picks, I think. So we don't really know what kind of GM he actually is because he's never had value draft picks.
Are you saying shut it down? Get as high picks as you can?
I'm not necessarily opposed, but like I'm never the person to say like shut it down this early in the season because the season isn't over. It's just not. You know what I mean? Like it's not over yet. It so will
if
be
your last. If you lose your next 3 out of 5,
yeah, then you can shut it down because that's what 3-6? No, 3-6.
Mm.
Oh, see, I hate the NFL for this one reason.
Because you're 1-3 right now, right?
1-3, yeah.
Yeah,
3-6. The NFL is annoying for this very reason, though, because you can be 3-6 and still not out of the playoff picture, depending on how the rest of the league
is. Yeah, how the rest of the league
is. So it really is like, do you just give up or not? Because even when Jacoby was playing for Deshaun until he got back from his suspension that one year, we were still in the playoff race at it. We were like fucking 5-8 or something. It was like the weirdest situation. I was just like,
we're still in the hunt.
Yeah. Which is annoying. It's just like, come on, like just let us fall to our death or not. But the NFL never allows that. Like you have to be so, so bad to be eliminated before week 9. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. I just went on a little rant right there. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I don't even know where it stemmed from, bro.
We just ended the injuries. Yeah, it was Nick Chubb. Yeah,
Nick Chubb. Do you want to do the picks or the power rankings?
Let's do the power rankings and get this shit over with. We got some eye-opening ones here. We got to move around, I think.
We're going to do the power rankings live on YouTube people. This will be live. Audio people will just talk about it. But audio people go to the YouTube so you can see our power rankings. These will be posted, but still, you know, see the magic happening, man.
Yeah. Obviously, this isn't our week 5 tiers yet. I just switched the week it was in. This is our first ranking, so we're going to change it live right now. This is where we had it to start the year, just to clarify. So we're going to just walk down the tier list at this point. Do you want to start from the rebuild section? Or do you want to go tier 1? Which way do you want to go?
Are we still keeping the tier 1 the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start from tier 1 then.
Okay. So right now in tier 1, we have the Chiefs and the 49ers. Do you want to add anybody to that 4 weeks?
And the tier 1 we have are the Super Bowl. Those are Super Bowl contenders for the audio.
Yeah. Super Bowl contenders. We think they can make it there every single year. Basically this year, we still think they can make it there. So, So just keep it the same. I'm with keeping this the same as it is. 49ers and Chiefs, Super Bowl contenders, tier 1, tier 2. These are playoff locks we had at the start of the year. I think we're looking a little shaky on a few of these.
Yeah, we are.
So we have the Ravens, the Eagles, the Lions, the Texans, the Bills, Bengals, and Cowboys. The moves I would like to change are probably the Eagles down to tier 3.
No Bengals change? Whoa. It's unfortunate. Are you the Bengals correspondent?
I'm okay. I'm okay moving the Bengals to tier three because of their defense.
Yeah.
Wanted if this was like 1 week later, because I want to see what they do against the Ravens. But I'm completely fine with moving them down because now they do have a big question mark on defense, right?
Yeah.
So we'll move them down. See, we're gonna have to do this kind of one at a time here. So, so out of the Browns, we're moving. I don't give a fuck. I still think they're league average, though. Do you disagree?
No, it's the league average. We need to
because they're competitive. Yes, the Jaguars are moving to rebuild. And I think this is partly because of we just talked about it a lot on this episode, Doug Peterson, right?
Yeah.
So
how do we feel about the Rams?
Oh, man, the Rams are quite annoying. I think we're going to put the Vikings at three, right?
Yeah, 100%.
God, why do I have some of these so big and the others not? Pause. I want to move the Rams to league average. I think the injuries have really, really affected them.
Are we moving anybody to before we... Hot take. The Packers. Their defense has greatly surprised me.
So you want to move to tier two?
Two. Their defense has greatly surprised me. I thought they were going to be ass with Malik back there.
Really?
And their defense locked the fuck in.
I mean, they got a really good coach. I just think, you know what's weird about it is I think the offense is more of a question mark than the defense is right now.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to move some pieces. So Jets, I don't know if we're moving these yet, but I'm just going to take them out so it doesn't look so clunky. Obviously, Vikings we're going to keep.
What do we
know? Dolphins get out of here. I'd say we keep the Packers where they're at because they're still kind of frisky. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Falcons,
Do we move the Seahawks up?
Yeah, I would say we move the Seahawks to tier three. Their offense looks really good to start the year. Their defense has question marks, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with them. Tier three is dangerous with questions, if people are asking. That's where we have teams that are, like, frisky. They can make the playoffs. They can make some noise. But we also have a decent amount of questions to be answered still for them. Seahawks, I'm okay with that.
Saints?
Man, I...
My questions are Saints, Bucks, and Steelers. No bias to the Steelers.
Saints, Bucks, Steelers. I still think the Steelers are league average. And I'm only saying that. I'm only saying that because of your offense struggling so much. Like, you can only do so much with a defense like this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we get down the line, it's like, I want to see a few more games from them to be, because they
won't truly know until like week 10.
Like, you guys haven't played anybody that was like, holy fuck, you just beat that team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to wait until you get into, like, division games and go from there. Oh, the Bucks. The Bucks are so volatile.
So, but they did get blown out by the Broncos.
Yeah, man. I think we keep them at league average for now.
So we're going to have a lot of league average teams.
Yeah, I'm going to have to up this fucking tier list. Eagles probably league average, right? I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're... like rebuild yet. I'm gonna put the Dolphins are average with Tua, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So until he gets back, should we put them at rebuild? Like, because they're rough.
We're gonna have to move Washington up.
Yeah, Washington is not in a fucking rebuild. These motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm putting them at dangerous. Is that five?
Whoa, from five to tier three, danger.
Hey, if there's one team we were wrong about the most, it'd probably be Washington. So far,
are we drinking the Kool-Aid?
My biggest thing with them is, like, at some point, Jaden Daniels has to hit a wall, right? I mean, Stroud never really did.
He's going to get hurt.
I don't know if he's going to get hurt, though.
He's already taking shots, bro.
They have the number one offense in the league right now.
Yeah.
So I think they're pretty fucking dangerous where they're at. Now, if they lose, now watch. We move them here this week.
Yeah, they're going to start losing, yeah.
Yeah, if they lose to the Browns this weekend, then they are 100% a league average team. I don't care what else they do the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Do we be extreme or do we keep them in league average for right now?
No, let's be extreme, man. Fuck it.
We're either going to look really stupid or really smart.
Washington's dangerous, man.
Bucks, Rams, Colts, Steelers, Chargers. So let's keep... All right, so tier one, we have the Chiefs 49ers. I don't think we're moving anyone else into tier two, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
We're still keeping the Cowboys here?
Yeah, we need to see after.
Okay.
After if they lose to the Steelers.
Yeah. All right, so tier two playoff locks. We have the Ravens, Lions, Texans, Bills, Cowboys. Tier three, dangerous with questions. I think we're going to just keep these six, correct? The Buccaneers are close, but we need to see more. Mm-hmm. So even the Saints, they started out hot, but like to see more from them. Tier three, dangerous with questions, a little frisky. Vikings, Packers, Falcons, Bengals, Seahawks, Washington. I think the Bengals pick is strictly based off of QB.
Yeah.
If they didn't have Burrow, we'd be having a conversation right now about league average.
They didn't have Burrow, and them hoes being a rebuild.
I need to adjust this. This looks like shit right now. But what else? So, the Jets.
Where do we want to put the Jets? That Broncos loss was damning.
Yeah, they're league average, even with Rodgers, they're league average, right? Like, this is just who they are. Yeah. I think they're going to struggle against teams. Like, consistently, besides the fucking Patriots. We'll keep the Dolphins in league average. We got a lot of...
Two is supposed to come back week eight.
You said week eight?
Uh-huh.
Nasty work, man.
I don't even know how you can put that boy back out there.
I can't believe, like, I've never seen someone... knocked out for this long for a concussion. IR is insane.
It's not showing any damage. I'm like, oh my god.
That's fucking insane, man. I don't know.
Free to his brain, man.
All right, is there any other moves you want to make? I feel like we have
a pretty solid. I think this is good right here.
Let me just adjust this so it doesn't look
that, like... That OCD going crazy.
I know. It just looks like shit, though. That's why I'm kind of... It's bugging me. We don't want it to look like dog shit for the viewers. All right. Jesus. All right. So we did a little bit of adjusting here. So we got Tier 1 Super Bowl contenders, Chiefs 49ers. That probably won't change all year. Nope. Unless something happens with the Chiefs. I mean, the 49ers have struggled, but they still can get there. Good coaching, mm-hmm. solid QB play, good O-line. Defense is solid. They'll be fine. Tier 2, playoff locks. As of right now, we only have five. It started out with seven.
Yep.
We have the Ravens, Lions, Texans, Bills, Cowboys. Tier 3, we did a lot of moving on this one. Dangerous with questions. We got the Vikings with Sam Darnold leading the way. The Packers, the Commanders, surprise appearance, starting off hot 3-1. The Bengals because of Joe Burrow, the Seahawks, and the Falcons still right there. I think Kirk is still adjusting.
Yep.
To his Achilles injury. I think they're going to get better week in, week out. Their defense is still pretty solid. And then tier four league average is where majority of the teams are. We got the Jets, the Rams. Jets and Rams are two. Jets, Rams, and Bucks are three teams that can possibly be in tier three. But I think they're just too inconsistent. And the Rams are too hurt. The Jets are inconsistent. The Bucks are 3-1. There are only 3-1 team. Or no, the Steelers are also here. Right, yeah.
Yep, representing, baby.
But just, like, I don't know, man. Baker doesn't do well when they start getting up big record-wise and stuff. So we're going to keep them there for now. It wouldn't surprise me with the division they're in that they go up to Tier 3 eventually. Dolphins, league average, obviously without Tua, they're miserable. Colts are weird. They can beat anybody. They can also lose to anybody. Cardinals, no defense. Offense seems to be struggling right now. Chargers, Steelers, also another team that could be tier three. The thing about the Steelers is they probably could be in tier three because we know they can win games against anybody.
We'll see. We'll see for next power rankings.
I just want to see them play like a better competition and see where they're at. Bears. Eagles, this was a big change. We had them in tier two. We moved them all the way to league average. Coaching, big, big problem. Saints, kind of regressed the last 2 weeks. Titans, miserable, but did just beat the Dolphins. We're going to keep them league average. I think they can compete.
Miserable.
Yeah, Raiders, Broncos, Browns, not looking great. League average, still competitive with teams they're playing against. Rebuild, we have the Giants. They could probably go to
league average. We might have to bump them to league average.
I'm okay with that. They beat us, so.
I'm gonna say that.
The thing about the Giants, Browns, Broncos, Raiders, kind of similar teams. They can beat teams, but they're also just going to beat themselves. So that's kind of where they're at. Patriots, definite rebuild. Panthers, definite rebuild. Jaguars.
And the second shock of the rankings, the Jaguars are in the rebuild now.
Yeah, sorry. That was
not this is the biggest coaching malpractice. The Jaguars are in the rebuild.
Yeah, our two biggest changes were the Jaguars moving from tier three to rebuild and Washington moving from rebuild to tier three. So everything else is pretty similar, I would say. There's been a few changes, but nothing crazy, I don't think.
No, nobody's moved up to playoff locks. I think we're locked in.
Yeah, I think we're good where we're at right now.
Nothing
here.
Too crazy.
And then we'll run it back week 10, see if anything else has changed.
Yeah,
I'm sure a lot will change. That's why we do this every 4 weeks, because yep. So much changes. Teams lose to teams they shouldn't. And doing a ranking every week, it would just be too much.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
I think all in all, what everybody can get from this is there's a lot of fucking mid-ass teams.
Yeah.
This year.
Definitely.
Even the big dogs are losing to dangerous with questions. You know, 49ers lost to the fucking Vikings. So anything can happen. That's why we love the NFL, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's also stressful as fuck that anything can happen.
Yeah, it's annoying. No week is a week off. Not even with the Panthers anymore.
No, not even with the Panthers, bro. That is our tiers of week five. We're going to go ahead and go into our picks. Do we want to do picks or best bets for – I forget which one we do first.
Best bets.
Best bets first. We're going to go into our best bets. Did a little bit different here. You know, usually, you know, we've been picking the spreads. But now we're going with the over and unders this week. You know, went 0-3 last week. Fuck us. It's the first time that we haven't gotten at least one. Our underdog pick. I'm not counting that. You know, that was just vibes. That was we're trolling. We just wanted to see if the Bengals could actually lose to the Panthers. But for our locks of the week, we have the Vikings and Jets over 40.5 and the Cowboys and Steelers over 42.5. And our dog of the week, And our dog of the week is the Saints at plus 190 on Monday Night Football against the Chiefs. There's not too many teams. I don't think realistically any team should be undefeated. I think teams have been that bad. So I think this. I think the Saints are going to be the ones to knock it off.
Oh yeah.
You want to go ahead and we both agreed on these are the locks, but you want to go ahead and give your reasoning for the Vikings and Jets over 40 and a half?
Yeah, I'm liking – so for the Vikings and Jets, I know the Jets defense and the Vikings defense is pretty good, but like last week per se, I should have just done – because I bet it. I bet the over in the fucking Vikings-Packers game, and I should have just put that as my best bet. But I'm really – like no defense has yet to show me they can stop the Vikings offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately I'm banking – the problem is it's at the Jets. I didn't even realize that. Wait, no. Is it at the Jets? I feel like – am I tripping right now?
I can check.
No, it's at the Vikings. It's at the Vikings.
It's at the Vikings.
Yeah. Because for whatever reason, when they play games
– isn't it overseas?
Oh, it's in London.
Yeah. You might have to check.
Well –
jet lag. I don't know, man.
Yeah, jet lag. I mean, that could go both ways, offense, defense, but I just don't think the Jets can stop the Vikings offense, and I think the Jets after last week's very poor showing on offense from the offense, it was only Rodgers' third loss when allowing 10 or less points. I think around 10 points, whatever it was. In his whole career, like I think when it this is my big feeling on it is when a team has that big of a letdown, they usually do well the next week. So I'm kind of combining the fact that the offense for the Jets was so horrid against the Broncos last week that they're going to do better this week. And the Vikings offense is yet to be stopped by anybody. So I think this does get 40 and a half is a good line for the Vikings. They've hit the over in pretty much every game. So I like this spot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I do think I think the Jets defense is really good, but I think at times they can be suspect, especially on the run game. And the Vikings do have Aaron Jones, who's a perennial player. I think he's one of the best running backs in the league right now. And like you said, the Vikings offense has been unstoppable. And they almost lost the fucking game. The Packers came back. There's still, you know, time for teams to come back. So I think this could be also a high-scoring game. For the Cowboys and Steelers, the Cowboys' defense has also been suspect, and we just saw the Steelers as soon as, you know, Joe Flacco came in. That is a very big difference between Flacco and AR. I mean, Mike Tomlin said it, Flacco. And there's no disrespect to AR, but Flacco's a way better passer than AR right now. So it's been a difference, and we got cooked. So I think both ways that this game could also lead to some sparks.
Yeah, I think it's to me the biggest surprise here is that the Steelers Cowboys over mark is higher than the Jets and Vikings, and that's and I think part of the reason is because of the Jets offense struggling so much to start the year, and the Vikings defense being so good, but. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Cowboys-Steelers probably goes over. The Cowboys' defense can't stop the run. If you guys mix in those RPOs and shit with Justin Fields, I think it's going to be a long day for them. And the Cowboys' offense is always live for 28 points. Always. Yeah. Like, no matter what. Like, in the Giants game, they just couldn't finish in the red zone. So they were kicking field goals. But I think that is a good play as well. And the Saints, I never pick against the Chiefs, but they are reeling from injuries on the offense side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And the Saints are one of those defenses that take advantage of that situation. So
I think the Saints back end is going to be able to – I think their defense is going to be perfectly able to contain tight ends. I think they're really good against tight ends this year. So there is a chance for this. I don't think they'll get fucking blown out, but I do think the Saints can leave with a victory here.
Yeah, it'll be a tough game on the road, but like I think you're right. I think the back end for the Saints defense can neutralize the weapons for what weapons? Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
If they can't throw the ball, it's going to be a long day.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's one of those games where Derek Carr is just dotting, it could very well get out of hand, I think.
Yeah, so those are our bets of the week. Dog of the week is the Saints sitting there at plus 190. And then locks of the week are the Vikings and Jets over 40.5 at minus 108. And the Steelers and Cowboys over 42.5 at minus 115. And then we're going to go ahead and get into our picks. We'll throw that slide up and I'll read the slide for the audio listeners. Before that, I do want to ask you a question. I had a conversation with our buddy Darion Fobbs, Deuce Fobbs, shout out Father Fobbs. What is your definition on a dual threat quarterback? What do you think of when you think of dual threat quarterbacks?
I feel like that's a broad question. Like,
right.
A dual threat quarterback to me, I feel like the best way to explain it is with the QBs in the league, right? So like Lamar is a dual threat. Justin Fields is a dual threat. I feel like a dual threat QB is almost like he likes to use his legs to make plays more than his arm, mm-hmm. right? I feel like that's kind of where I'm leaning. But like in today's game, there's not many that aren't dual threats if you really think about it.
That's what I'm saying.
Because to me, like Jared Goff, Matt Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins. They're like a dying breed. Pocket passers. Ultimately, majority of the QBs, like Jordan Love can run too. I would say he's predominantly a pocket passer though. You know what I mean?
Would you say Patrick Mahomes is a dual threat quarterback?
Oh, he's a really tough one. I probably wouldn't classify him as a dual threat.
See, I do. Because in the instances we've seen multiple times on those third and 12s, third and 15s.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's a difference. I mean, I think because of the dying breed of pocket passers, the statues, that mobile and dual threat has just huge combined. Because there's mobile quarterbacks like a Jordan Love, but I wouldn't say Jordan Love is a dual threat quarterback.
Okay, I agree with that. Patrick Mahomes is definitely more of a threat to run than Jordan Love is, for sure. Okay, I agree with you. I would consider Pat. See, Pat is like Pat, Deshaun Watson. Who else?
I also said Justin Herbert's a dual threat quarterback. Deuce couldn't get behind that.
I think Herbert's more of like the Love and Lawrence QB. You know, Lawrence can also run, like he's pretty mm-hmm. fast, but they would rather take a throw than run for a first down in any situation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think those are mobile QBs. Most QBs are mobile nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, are you nitpicking? Are they dual threat or not? Like, I would consider Lamar a true dual threat. Like, Justin Fields is a true dual threat QB. And I feel like it also plays into scheme. Like, how is the offensive coordinator using them? You know what I mean? Mm. If you're getting, like, Anthony Richardson, he's a dual threat. Do you see that recording error? Or am I tripping right now?
No, I'm good.
Okay, I see one on my screen. I was just making sure.
Yep, we're good on here.
It says network connection loss for me, but oh, there we go. We're good. Okay, all right. Good. I would say AR, Lamar, Justin Fields, those are true definition of a dual threat QB.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile, man. See, I do think Pat's more of a mobile QB, not a dual threat, because of the fact that he is going to always pick the pass over the run. Unless it's absolutely needed to run. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not so sure that Lamar and Fields and AR are picking the pass over the run if given the opportunity.
Gotcha. See, I have the dual threat as a more broad because, I mean, Justin Herbert was recruited by Oregon as a dual threat quarterback. I think okay. also Jalen Hurts is a dual threat quarterback. Daniel Jones to me is a dual threat quarterback. Any brother running a 4.6 is a dual threat quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, like when you go into film, like the defensive coach, like the DCs are probably saying these guys are dual threats because they can run. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There is the threat of run there. So yeah, if you want to broaden it, I would say yeah, that I agree with your statement then. Because like there are guys that are, I mean, most QBs in the league, like Deshaun Watson's a dual threat QB. You know what I mean? So yeah, I don't disagree. There's really only four or five guys that you're like, this guy's not running. You know what I mean? Even Purdy, you could say Purdy's a dual threat.
Yeah, Purdy runs too.
Very broad, like Kyler Murray, true dual threat. Yeah. So Jaden Daniels, true dual threat. Yeah. So yeah, the league is definitely shifting that way, and I think part of it is because of the defensive ends being so good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like the defensive linemen are like the best athletes on the field. So you can't have a statue at QB anymore.
Yeah.
Unless he's Drew Brees and can process what he's seen every single play, or Tom Brady. But we just don't have those processors anymore. We don't have the QB that pre-snap recognizes everything and always makes the right decision.
Attributing that to the coaching, like how Tom Brady said, there's the lack of coaching.
Lack of just learning, in my opinion. Like players development. It's not the NFL's fault that a player is not developed when they get to the NFL. That's college and what the player chose to spend time on in college, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone's trying to get out of college to go to the NFL to make money, right? But they're also learning these phony ass offenses that don't work in the NFL. And I think it's costing them years when they do get to the NFL. And that's why we see so many QBs fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a different game. It's completely different. And only guys like, and I hate to say it, like J.J. McCarthy probably had a better chance of being good than someone like Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And it's just because he was in a system for 4 years, 4 or 5 years. It was a pro-style offense. Like, if I had to give you a percentage on who would work out and who wouldn't, I'd probably have a lean a little bit more towards J.J. McCarthy just because of what he went through, what he saw on a day-to-day basis in that offense. Caleb Williams is far more talented, no doubt, but he was also in an offense that you just don't run and you make simple reads and it's not difficult to learn. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely coaching at the collegiate level. There's a lot of offenses that don't, like there's three route trees in Tennessee's whole offense. They run the same three routes. The QB does no pre-snap recognition, nothing. You know what I mean?
So do you think Nico is going to regress in the pros?
I mean, it's really up to him. Like, there's going to be a learning curve for sure. Like, he's not going to walk in the league and be a maniac. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look at Jaden Daniels. He was in a pro-style spread offense with Brian Kelly. Like, Brian Kelly is a pro-style guy in spread, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he has more NFL cues on his offense than most people do. And look at Jaden Daniels. Like he's adjusted well to the NFL, right? So, I mean, that's just what it is. And he played 5 years. Like experience matters at the QB position. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. Like AR's played 13, 14 starts in his whole career.
And it looks like it.
Like, and he still makes plays that you're like, holy shit. Like, if he just played 3-4 years as a starting QB in college, we might be having a different conversation about what he is. You know what I mean? That's just where we are with college football. They don't do themselves any favors by playing for some of these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think the extra year that Justin Herbert stayed really helped develop him, or do you think he was good day one?
Yeah, I think it helped him a lot on Oregon's offense. Like, I think it helped him and Oregon's offense because they kind of grew together because Oregon wasn't like super good when he was there. The last year he was there, they went to the Rose Bowl, I think.
Yeah.
And that offense was Cristobal's too. I don't think it was a gimmick offense like most of these college offense. So Yeah, I think him being there for 5 years helped. The guys that leave, I mean, I want to see the percentage of guys that leave after the fourth and fifth year compared to the third year.
Yeah.
And see what the difference, like, hit rate is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to look at for sure.
Unless but you go to dual
threats are everywhere.
Yeah. I think there's more, there's infinitely more dual threats than there are non. Just because, like you said, because now these fucking edge rushers, DNs are running fucking 4.5s, bro. 4.5, 4.6s. You can't have a 5-flat dude back there.
No, you have to be able to move. You have to be able to escape the pocket. Like, it's just impossible in today's, especially with how defenses have played. Like, the linebackers, the ends, the D tackles, they're all moving at 4.5 or more. Like, it's insane. You can't have. And like I said, there's no one that processes the field or is that good of a pocket passer anymore, to be honest. Kirk Cousins is a dying breed. Even Stafford makes plays with his feet. You know what I mean? Yeah. He knows how to escape the pocket and stuff. He's not a true pocket passer.
You seen Kirk Cousins the last one?
Kirk Cousins might be the last one. Even Baker makes
plays. Yeah, I say Baker makes plays, yeah.
Oh, Goff.
Goff.
How was I forgetting Goff? Goff and Kirk Cousins are the last two pure-blooded pocket passers. Step back, pre-snap recognition, make the read. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, that's what it is. And it looks almost robotic when those two play because it's like they know where they're going with the football before the play starts. Mm. So when they do have – that's another thing. Like, when they do have interceptions, it's because they read the play wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks almost worse than a guy running out of the pocket, running for his life, and then throwing back into coverage.
Yep.
Because they're not making the plays with their feet. So, like, when they step back and then you're like, oh, shit, he already found a guy to throw to. And then it's an interception. You're like, what the fuck was he looking at?
Yeah.
But it's all people don't know how hard it is to be a QB. Pre-snap recognition is a dying breed in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Now the coaches are doing it for younger QBs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's interesting. It's a weird thing to think about.
So saying like dual threats are like there's a difference between quarterbacks just like running. Because even I mean Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins can run, but it's difference between them doing like you know the little 2 yards run out of bounds, second and eight. Then yeah, like a Patrick Mahomes. Like Patrick Mahomes would run for extra yards. You know, he might throw a little juke in there, reach out with the ball.
Sneaky good at running. And he knows how to play the sideline to his advantage and the refs. Yeah. Because he'll run the sideline and act like he's going out and just keep running. And he gets people with that all the fucking time. Those defenders are better than me. I'll fucking light him up if he's
that, hey, what did I say? I got flack from our homies from the Tua shit. If I see you running and you're not sliding to go out of bounds, I'm laying you out.
Yeah, I agree. Like because it is easy to take advantage of the flags. The QBs are the most protected position in the league. You can just get tapped on the head, and it will be a personal foul now. So,
shout out dual threats, man. Shout out dual threats. Let's go ahead and get into our picks. Whew, we have not been good, man. Hey, but you know what? Nobody else has. No, I'm telling you, if somebody has like an insanely positive record for picks in the last is going on week five. They are lying to y'all. It is tough out here, bro. Reed is dead even. 532-32, and I'm 36-28. I'm coming for that victory belt of our pick'ems. If I win, dead ass though, if I win, I'm gonna get a belt and I'm gonna just hang it. Or I'm gonna wear it as the champion. Because they're not that expensive. We'll make it all back on UFC tonight. So, and on our best bets, we're gonna win a lot of fucking money this weekend. But let's go ahead and get into the picks for Thursday night game. It is the Buccaneers at the Falcons. I chose the Buccaneers, and Reed chose the Falcons. For the Jets at the Vikings for the London game, we both chose the Vikings. For the Carolina Panthers at the Chicago Bears. We both chose the Bears. For the Ravens at the Bengals, we both chose the Ravens. For the me see this for the Dolphins at the Patriots. We both chose the Patriots. For the Browns at the Commanders, we both chose the Commanders. This brother has not picked the Browns. What is it, 2 weeks in a row now, or is it three?
2 weeks in a row. I will say, for some of these picks, like, there's so many pick-ems this week.
Yeah.
And just with how the Browns operate, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the number one offense in the league. Because that's just who they are. They let you down 2 weeks in a row when they're favorites, and then they beat a team they shouldn't beat. That's just who they fucking are.
How's that make you feel as a fan?
It's fucking annoying, man. Why can't we just whenever we have the opportunity to grasp like a 3-1 start or like a 4-0 start, we just fucking shit the bed every time.
Yeah, now you're just going to be sitting there. If y'all win, you're just going to be like, bro, we asked or not?
Exactly.
So what like, side of it is?
Yeah, if we beat the Commanders this week, I'm just like, it just gives me hope again. Like, just lose. Lose just, and get a better pick. Just like, I'm fucking over it.
For the
oh my god. Wait, breaking fucking news.
Is it true? Hold on. Let's see.
I might have to double check this.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a fake account or not. All right, I'm going to list the picks and then we'll see. Okay. For the Colts at the Jaguars, we both picked the Colts. For the Bills at the Texans, we both picked the Bills. For the Raiders at the Broncos, we both picked the Broncos. For the Cardinals at the 49ers, we both picked the 49ers. And for the Packers at the Rams, we both picked the Packers. The Giants at the Seahawks, we both picked the Seahawks. And the Sunday night game, the Cowboys at the Steelers. We both picked the Steelers. I thought he was going to pick the Cowboys. What the hell? He's jinxing my team, y'all. Don't let y'all think that he thinks the Steelers are going to win. Look at him laughing. He's jinxing our fucking team. That's what he's doing. And for the Saints at the Chiefs, we both picked the Saints. And that is our pick-ems. Hopefully, we do a lot better than we have been doing. I did get 10, so, you know, I'm locked in. What are we good? I think we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
No, as in it's not fake, or?
Is it?
I don't know. I can't find anything else. I just saw reports of people saying that other teams are interested, but I haven't gotten anything from, like, any of the big dogs that it's official, so.
Okay. What we are talking about, y'all, we are just seeing where Devontae was going. That's all. But, yeah, that's it for DWC. This is week 5 of the NFL. Already, we had our power rankings. Those will all be posted. All of this shit will be posted. It is on YouTube and on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Make sure you guys like, rate us 5 stars, subscribe, all that jazz. These will be posted on Twitter and on Instagram, so make sure you follow our Twitter at DWC2022 and on Instagram at Defense Wins Championships. And yeah, hopefully this week lives up to a good week. Should be a good weekend. Got the early game, so got to wake up early to watch that. It's actually a decent game, so it's not like we're watching a dumbass game. But let's go ahead and keep the picks rolling. Keep the best bets going. Let's keep winning. I will put those best bets back up. Locks of the week, Vikings versus Jets over, and Cowboys versus Steelers over. Those are at 40.5 and 42.5. Dog of the week is the Saints at +190. So thanks again, guys, for listening and watching. Like I said, like, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, all that jazz. We are out on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcast. So thanks again, guys. We are out. Peace.